We're in Maamar Sheni, still in Ice Bays. Still, if it's not disrespectful to say hung up on God's names. And he explained that the most difficult of God's names are the ones that are not meant literally, that are meant b'shlilus, to exclude something else. And he completes that discussion here on page 11. I will start from the top line. The beginning is easy. Chen lo yikabel achayim v'amoves, ela gufas hativiyis. Being alive or dead is only possible to something of creation. V'etzim alakayim, eroimim v'nalamihem. And God himself is not connected to expressions like life or death. V'myoim rechayim, and if we say the living God, lo'ikachayiseinu hu kavanaseinu. We don't mean the word live in the sense of a human being. Just that we've never experienced life except that which we know. And we're expressing something. We talk about God's chios. It's not something that has expression in our world. The only reason we talk about God in the sense of alive is to contrast it with the Avodah Zarah, Shem Elihim Mason. Lo Yia Mehem Maisa. Something is defined as alive if it has movement. It's alive if it grows, if it moves. V'alderech hazeh nemar echad, so chiyum is to exclude Avodah Zarah. V'alderech hazeh nemar echad. When we say God is one, lishlal mimen haribui, to exclude the concept of multiple. Loy lekayim loy ha'achdis hamuvenes etzleinu, and not the word echad as we know it. Ki echad etzleinu mash nidbuku chalok of zeh b'zeh v'zdamu. Oneness is when parts come together and become one. Kasher toimer etzem echad, yad echad, mayim achadim. When you say something is one, rivers come together and form an ocean, or bones come together and form a hand. What's yom echad? It's 24 hours come together to form a day. Or shana achas. God has no parts. We only say echad to exclude multiple gods. We say first to exclude being later, loy l'kayim loy haschola, not that beginning is shayach to God. Chin achroin l'shomen ha'akli loyoin. And they say God is last, doesn't mean he's last. Hu v'yishayim v'u achroin. Loy l'kayim loy ha'tichlo, not to say that there's an ending. Chol amid say lu einam d'veikus ha'letzim kvoidoi v'loy misrabba behem. Period. So this is a discussion which, as I said, we really discussed in the past. Ibn Ezra has his own mahalach, which is brought here in the footnote, who defines echad by God. He touches it as unique. Rather than one, Hashem echad, God is unique. Many years ago, one summer, there was an idea which never ended up happening, to write up some of Rav Palm's shmuzin. They ended up writing all the feel-good shmuzin in English. That's what's popular. It makes you feel good. Shalom bayis and being nice and saying please and thank you. Those are the feel-good shmuzin that sell. The ones that have more depth to them, today they're not very popular. It's like writing a sefer about digduk. So there was, at that time, I had this idea to write up some of the real, the real Torah, so to speak. And Rav Palm has a maimer on Achdus Hashem. And that summer, I think it was the second piece. The first piece I wrote had to do with Kibbutz Avim, which I guess is also a feel-good topic, but it was a much deeper piece based on a Ramchal. And then I tried to write the piece on Achdus. That's really where it ended. Because, Rav Palm ended up saying that you can't translate, Achdus Hashem into any other language. We only have Rishus to use Achdus Hashem because Chazal use it. But really, to say God is one, even the word God is unique, Rav Palm didn't like. So unique means among similar items, you have unique. You can have Bechers, and you have a unique Becher. But unique implies some type of a comparison. And we say in the Animamins, An imam b'mamuna shalayma, shabay resor shabay hu yachid. God is yachid, is one alone. Ve'en yechidus kamayu b'shumpanim. There's no other expression of oneness like God. Hu levadai alakeinu hayahay v'viya. So it's an idea that's ein yechidus kamayu b'shumpanim. It's a very hard thing to translate, and that's the reason for this struggle in this piece, and explaining to the Khuzar king what it means, God is one, and really he just ends up saying that these expressions are shluliyos, they mean to exclude other possibilities, and they really don't have meaning unto themselves. He ended up not translating that piece, and we ended up aborting the entire effort for whatever reason. The Zman began, and Rapam said, don't waste your time doing the Zman on it. Bein Zman was one thing, and that's where it ended. So, anyway, that's where it ended. He very often said, not every lesson that's worth saying is worth printing. Certain things you have to give over orally. It doesn't mean everything that's a, not every good speech makes a good article. It's a different stories. Okay, now he turns to something else, which I find very fascinating. Aval hamidas hatluyas b'shem ha-mafayrish. He turns to the shem ha-mafayrish, and I'll explain it as the Eitz Nechma does on the bottom. And he says something here that's, to me, very fascinating. Before we start it, I have to know that there's a concept of hashgacha klolis, or teva. We believe in hashgacha pratis. We believe that everything that happens to a person generally has hashgacha pratis, has a specific psak in heaven that it would happen. That's, generally speaking, that's so. What's hashgacha klolis? Hashgacha klolis means certain things that happen that are not judged in heaven. The easy example is the leaf that falls off the tree. Every leaf falls off. Which one falls first? Which one falls second? Is there hashgacha pratis on that? So the Rambam says there isn't. The Rambam gives another example. Which fish eat which other fish in the ocean? There are thousands, hundreds of millions of fish that are eating other fish all the time. So the Rambam explains there's something called hashgacha klolis. Hashgacha klolis is a general hashgacha, which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forces a nature into play and allows them to play out as they will. So God created gravity, and Mela, if you let go of something, it's going to fall to the ground. Doesn't mean that there was hashgacha pratis, that this item will fall to the ground. That's the Rambam's concept of hashgacha klolis, which was, interestingly, roundly rejected by the Baal Shem Tov and the Chassidim, who hold that every single thing that happens in the world is hashgacha pratis. That's a discussion for a different time. But otherwise, it's generally accepted that there's an idea of nature and hashgacha klolis, and all the Baalim HaShava that we follow accept such a thing. You can't really live a life. It's very hard to live a life without accepting hashgacha klolis. You know, when you, I don't know, when you wash your hands, which drips of water drip off your hand? It's very hard to say that in heaven they're judging which water should drip off your hands and which water should make it to the paper towel. We understand there's hashgacha klolis, there are certain things. Now, to me, it's a Gemara. The hashgacha pratis Gemara everyone quotes is a Gemara in Chulin that says, "Ein adam noikiv etzboi mulmata, elam kemech reizn olam mulmaila." No one's bangs his finger, hurts his finger down here, unless it's decreed in heaven. But people don't read the rest of the Gemara. The Gemara goes on. The Gemara says that that's only with a bad bang. The Gemara says only with your thumb and the right hand. In other words, only if it's a real bad bang. If it's a light bang, the Gemara says beferish, that there's no rule of machriz nolav mulmailo, which means the Gemara says that certain inconsequential things are left to nature. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created nature, and there's a seder of nature. Now, the idea that he's going to propose here is a fascinating idea, especially God knows, but the question is, there's no, Beis Din doesn't sit and decide which one happens. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put forces in nature. There's hashkacha to put the forces of nature into play. So let's read what he says and the way it's interpreted on the Eitz Nechma. Hamides hatluyas b'shem ha-mefureshes barach. The names the midas of Hashem that are connected to his essential name, the name of the Yudke Vavke. The other names, Rachum, Chanun, we already described. Heim hayitzirais mibli mutzoim tivyim. Certain things that God created have no teva, have really no explanation in the annals of nature. It's fascinating. He gives the example of being light and darkness. The stress on the word levadai. There are certain things that God does himself. There are certain things that are outside of nature. And he explains here in the Yotzei Nichbad that nature can explain everything that happens down here. But there are things that nature can't explain. It's interesting that light is given, and we're talking about 800 years ago, is given an example that's something that can't be explained with the forces of nature. Now, anybody knows that scientists today struggle over what light is. If light is waves or particles, well, what exactly is light? Today they believe light is waves and particles. I go explain that. It's so they say it can't be explained. You have to use the new sciences to explain it. But what exactly light is very difficult to explain by forces of nature. And he says that the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei is used for those parts of the world that have a Kadosh Baruch Hu's constant input. Yotzer Or, it doesn't say Yotzar Or. Hashem created the earth. Hashem created the things we see on the earth. But Yotzer Or, Kadosh Baruch Hu's constantly creating light in the sense that there are certain parts of the natural world that are Mechadish B'chol Yayim Tuvayim Asi Bereshis. Now normally, we say God is Mechadish B'chol Yayim Asi Bereshis, we talk about everything. He's explaining, no. It refers to certain items in the Bria, and he mentions specifically light and darkness, which are constantly miraculous occurrences by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that can't be explained naturally. Good and evil is a separate discussion. Light and darkness is not good and evil. It's true. But light is a physical fact. It's light. We don't know what light is. We struggle to understand light. And science today, with all its advances, finds light very mysterious. A lot of the ideas, a lot of the mysterious ideas of science, things that have to do with things like black holes and wormholes. You know what wormholes are? There's a new theory in nature that a wormhole is a way to travel from one part of the galaxy to another, and it could take a million light years. No, nobody could ever travel there. But there are wormholes within creation in the galaxies, which are like little holes that don't follow the rules of time and space. And you go from one part of the galaxy to another with these wormholes. It's honest theory. Kvitzis HaDerech. So when I dive in, these wormholes, they're all over the Siddur. Seriously, you have places in the Siddur, for example, in Ashrei. A lot of people find, they say Ashrei quickly. They don't realize, because there are two psukim in Ashrei that end with the same word. So it's like a wormhole. You go from one to jump to the other. Which one is it? I think about it a lot. It's, where is it? We have here in the beginning of Ashrei, starts with the letter test. Tev Hashem l'akol v'rachem v'akol ma'asav. Then we have later by letter tzadik, tzadiku v'chol drahab, v'chosid b'chol ma'asav. They both end b'chol ma'asav. If you find yourself saying Ashrei fast, it's a wormhole. You're saying about Rachma v'Alkol Ma'asav, Karav Hashem l'Chol Kairo. Because they both end with Alkol Ma'asav. It really is that way. A lot of times you go quick, you'll find suddenly, if you find day after day, suddenly you're ahead of the chazan. You should concentrate, you'll see. Really, it happens to me, I'm sure it happens to some of you also. In the Shabbos chakras, what we hear, there are a few such wormholes where it jumps from the Dovish Shai says Tamay to Ranan the Tzadikim, like from one to the other. Now, the worst thing is if you jump backwards. Then you keep on saying it over and over and you get lost. But it's like these miracles of nature. And, whereas in Mikotzer is some Hitzilam, there's two Hitzilams, the Dovish Shai says Tamay. And the same thing happens. People jump from one to the other. You just have to, you have to chop what's going on, and then you'll, and then you'll see. At any rate, it's a, it's part of the mysteries of the world are things that have to do with light and outer space, really. A lot of the things that have to do, the whole, new science, is based to a great part on proofs based on the shooting of light. That light is inconsistent in the way it penetrates little holes, or you've all read the studies of how these things work, the inconsistencies of light. So when we say Hashem's name, when we say Hashem is Rachum, Chazak, all these things are descriptions of Hashem, things Hashem does in the world. Hashem Meimis u'Mechaya. These are things that, that happen in the world. We call God a Meimis or a Mechaya or Rachum v'Chanun. These are these type of things. However, we say Yudkei Vavkei mean things that are not natural, that are miraculous. They could happen every day, but they're miraculous. The hanging of the sun in the sky is considered to be a miraculous thing. Why does the sun stay where it is? Especially today, science believes the sun is constantly moving. Like, why does it stay suspended? Like, why doesn't it one day just fall? So we understand that the gravitational pull of all the galaxies is equal, and even though it's expanding, somehow it stays equal. Chazal would express it with this approach as being a miracle. Now listen to a pasuk in the Torah, he explains this way. Ve'efsher, top line, Shezer rotz Avramai, ve'eira al Avram Yisrael v'yakev bekel Shakai. The Torah says that God appeared to Avram Yisrael and Yaakov with the other names. It's hard to believe that God never appeared to Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov with the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's very, very difficult idea.
It's there.
See, listen how he explains it. It says Hashem appeared to the Avos Bikel Shakai Rotz Laimer B'Derech Chiba V'Nitzachon K'may Shomer Lehen Yech Adam L'Ashkam Yech Aleim Malachim. God appeared with the Midah of Kel Shakai. He protected the Avos. The Jews, when they left Egypt, or even in Egypt, had miracles. It didn't happen to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The only place it seems that way is by Avimelech. When he kidnapped Sarah and everyone got sick, he explains in the footnote that that could happen naturally too. That people get sick. Shmi Hashem lo nedati lehem. My name Hashem, I didn't tell them, Ratzalaymer. He's saying that the name Hashem, the miraculous name Hashem didn't use for them, the Beis Bikel Shakai, I appeared Bikel Shakai, Bikel and Bikai Bishakai. When Hashem dealt with the Jews in Egypt, Hashem did miracles, things that would let them know there's a God, Babriya Khadasha Mukhuvenes, Kame Makis Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, Mon, Amurana, and Zulasam. Let Neshem Gedai, let me have Rami Sekiyaka, not because they're greater. Avon Neshem Ravu, Vahyo Hasafik Bilavavam, Va'avai Sayu Batakla Samuna Ubar Levav. The Avais, they had full faith. They didn't need these miracles. I feel like you pagan, call you Musam, Kiyim Ra. Even of all the days, there were no miracles. They only had bad experiences. The faith in God would not weaken. They didn't need miracles. Nikra Isai, and we call God Chacham Lev. The last names he refers to is referred to God in Iyav as Chacham Lev Amitz. Kaya Chacham Lev Shu Etzem HaChachma, the source of wisdom, and Chacham Mid Alay. Not that we judge HaKadosh Baruch Hu as wise. Aval Amitz Kayach min Amidas HaMaisiyos. Amitz Kayach means Hashem reveals himself as an Amitz Kayach. At any rate, this is the idea of all the names are ways Hashem reveals himself. And the Yudkei Vavkei is Itzuma Yisbarach, which is when Hashem, something outside of the bounds of nature, and that's the expression. No. Those are also Shemais. They would call it Shema Mefarish. When he refers to Shema Mefarish, he refers to Yudkei Vavkei. It's true. It's referred to as that. Okay, Mr. Hashem, tomorrow we'll move on to Gimel and Dalet.